the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Media.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Tuesday morning. We are so glad you are tuning your heart to the truth on Wake Up this morning. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Alicia Quibido and Damian Collado. Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Tuesday of Holy Week.
Yes.
Gotta get busy and be ready. Let's begin with prayer. It's also the Feast of St. Isidore of Seville. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty, ever-living God, grant us so to celebrate the mysteries of the Lord's Passion, that we may merit to receive your pardon. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. St. Isidore of Seville, pray for us.
Pray for us. We have a great show for you today, starting off with Bishop Michael Duca of the Diocese of Baton Rouge. He'll be giving us his gospel reflection, updates on what's going on in the diocese, and of course, talking about his favorite time of the year in our church calendar, and that's the Triduum, Holy Week, the Triduum, so we'll dive deeper into that. That's our main focus, really, for a lot of shows for this week, so he's going to take up a majority of today's morning show. You definitely want to stay tuned to hear Bishop Duca. And then Bill Donahue joins us to talk about his book called War on Virtue, How the Ruling Class is Killing the American Dream. Kind of tough topic to talk about, but I think it's something that we do need to address. We've been hearing it a lot in the news. It seems like it's everywhere we turn. So we're going to kind of put a Catholic perspective on this. So looking forward to this conversation with Bill as well. But Damian, I don't know about you, but yesterday my plants... there is a lot of green on them, and I was enjoying the warm weather and watering them. It was just something that was so peaceful.
Did you? I told you yesterday. I woke up, it was calm and breezy.
Yes.
And it wasn't, I mean, the temperature was almost 90 degrees, but the breeze
it was great.
Just complemented the heat,
yep.
And it wasn't bad at all. I enjoyed it. Today, guess what? Warm, breezy. It's going to be a lot more humid, though, so it may not be as pleasant as it was yesterday. And that's what you can expect. No rain, though. That's good news. Highs 89 or 90. Could set another record in some areas. Same for tomorrow, but come Thursday through Saturday, we are forecasting rain. Could be a very wet week as we get closer to Easter. In fact, rain all 3 days, tapering off on Easter. Sunday, highs will be in the 70s once we get to Thursday because that rain is going to cool things down. For those of you waking up right now, we are in the 70s, but it won't last long. And in around our area, it's 73 degrees in Homotibido, Biloxi, as well as Covington. Elsewhere in New Orleans, it's 75, and in Baton Rouge, it's 72. And there you go. Big Easter plans, anyone?
Big Easter plans, of course.
Staying home?
Yeah. Yeah, Easter at our house this year.
Yep. Easter, Gabby?
Nope, I am going somewhere. So you'll see it on social media.
Will we not find out about it till you return?
Spending time with family.
Oh,
so.
Good.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, same here. We're doing a little Easter get to. It's almost like a reunion.
That's good.
One for Easter with my wife's side of the family.
Right. No, I think that's a good thing.
I love
brings everybody around the table. That's
a good thing. All the kids come in and everybody gets to watch the Easter eggs. Even the adults participate in
that's
games.
So fun.
It is. We have a blast.
I think that's fun. So, do you go to Saturday night or Sunday morning?
We usually do the vigil.
Vigil.
Yep.
Good. So. Okay. We do Sunday morning.
Yep, we do too.
Good. Yep. I'm glad we all still go to church.
Stop.
I mean,
me too.
Yes, we do every Sunday then some.
To receive the body of Christ.
Amen.
Okay, folks, that's just a little taste of Wake Up. Don't go too far. It's 5 after the hour.
Good Tuesday morning. I'm Father Chris Decker, and today's gospel is taken from John chapter 13. Reclining at table with his disciples, Jesus was deeply troubled and testified, "Amen, amen, I say to you, one of you will betray me." The disciples looked at one another at a loss as to whom he meant. One of his disciples, the one whom Jesus loved, was reclining at Jesus' side. So Simon Peter nodded to him to find out whom he meant. He leaned back against Jesus' chest and said to him, "Master, who is it?" Jesus answered, "It is the one to whom I hand the morsel after I have dipped it." So he dipped the morsel and took it and handed it to Judas, son of Simon the Iscariot. After Judas took the morsel, Satan entered him. So Jesus said to him, "What you are going to do, do quickly." Now none of those reclining at table realized why he had said this to him. Some thought that since Judas kept the money bag, Jesus had told him, "Buy what we need for the feast, or to give something to the poor." So Judas took the morsel and left at once, and it was night. When he had left, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and he will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little while longer. You will look for me, and as I told the Jews, where I go, you cannot come. So now I say it to you." Simon Peter said to him, "Master, where are you going?" Jesus answered him, "Where I am going, you cannot follow me now, though you will follow later." Peter said to him, "Master, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Jesus answered, "Will you lay down your life for me? Amen, amen, I say to you, the cock will not crow before you deny me 3 times.
Thank you, Father Chris Decker, 9 after the hour on this happy Tuesday morning. So glad you could join us on Wake Up. Damian Colano, along with Alicia Quibido and Gabby Smith, and always a pleasure to have our next guest, Bishop Michael Duca of the Diocese of Baton Rouge, and he's here to be with us for a few segments this morning, so stick around. We're going to start out with the Gospel Reflection. Bishop, good morning, and happy Holy Week.
Good morning. Thank you. It's good to be with you this morning, this Holy Week.
Yes. You know, I'm always intrigued with this particular gospel passage. And the reason is I'm a lot like Peter, to say the least, and I can really relate to him. And I always pray that I won't be like Judas. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but indirectly, they both had their challenges in following Christ at this particular time.
That's right, they both did. And it seems, you know, I always see the difference in the two is that after Peter eventually denies Christ 3 times, following through with the prophecy that Jesus gives him today, that he went and wept bitterly. And Judas went off and, it says, hang himself. And it's one of those things where even though Peter had his difficulties, his love for the Master was such that he was willing to face him again and come back to him. Judas lost hope. The Lord, I'm sure, would have forgiven. The Lord's forgiveness is always, you know, more generous than we can imagine. Mm-hmm. But he chose not to come back to the Lord for forgiveness and lost despairing. He killed himself. And that's the difference. I mean, we're all sinners. We all, at times, you know, can't accept what the Lord says. We can't accept the challenges in our life and live them according to the gospel. And maybe we even turn away from the Lord from time to time. But if our heart's truly set on being a disciple and set on believing in Jesus, then eventually we feel that guilt, that shame, that difficulty, that emptiness of being disconnected, and we weep for our sins and we come and seek forgiveness, and then we find a Lord and God that is there ready to receive and forgive us. And yeah. So that's the message I always think about the two. And right, Peter had a hard time with Jesus. You know, he kept wanting him to be another kind of leader, I think.
He was a true soldier of Christ. And the reason I say that is he would stand up to anybody at any time. I mean, in Gethsemane, he cuts off the ear of the soldier. I mean, and it, not long after that, you would think, okay, if someone challenged him or asked him the question, you know, are you a follower of his? And he denied him. I'm just wondering what happened there. Why did fear suddenly set in?
I think it's because he kept fighting Jesus. I mean, he kept kind of resisting, giving in, and letting the Lord lead him. He wanted also to lead the Lord a little bit. I think he was struggling with what he knew. He didn't really understand Jesus yet. Mm-hmm. I've been preaching about this passage from the disciples going to Emmaus, and as Jesus reveals himself to the disciples, they tell Jesus, don't you know what's going on? And they told all the story about Jesus dying on the cross. And then they said, we had hoped he was the one. Well, they hoped he was the one that they imagined, mm-hmm. but Jesus had so much more to offer than just being the new Savior of Israel, the state of Israel, the people of Israel. He was going to save the souls of all mankind. And I think Peter, as long as he struggled, it took him down the wrong path. And when he finally, I think at that final, after the resurrection, he comes to Jesus and says, do you love me? Jesus asked him, do you love me? Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. He finally humbles himself, you might say, and embraces the Lord for who he is and sees it now more clearly, and then becomes, of course, the great saint and martyr and head of the church. I mean, it's one of those things I think we all struggle. We all grow in the faith, and we struggle at times to accept something. But eventually, when we humble ourselves and embrace the challenge before us, the challenge that we know God is calling us to do, then, you know, to forgive or to embrace the care of someone ill or whatever it might be, then we find a new peace, and we're not fighting it anymore.
Yeah.
And
yeah. That's so true. And to trust, it's a part of our journey is to trust, to have faith, and then the courage to continue to move forward even when we fail. Bishop, we appreciate the reflection. Now, don't go anywhere, and that includes our audience, because when Bishop Michael Duca comes back, we're going to get an update on what's going on in the Diocese of Baton Rouge, and then Alicia's going to be chatting with him about what's in store for Holy Week and a lot more. It is already 15 after the hour, so get up, get going. It's Wake Up.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for April 4th. Today we celebrate Saint Isidore of Seville. Some people manage to thrive under difficult conditions. Today's saint is one of those people. Born in mid-6th century Spain, Isidore received a fine education at the hands of his brother. Years later, Isidore became known as the schoolmaster of the Middle Ages. He is also known for his contributions to the church and culture of Spain in a period of great conflict. The Visigoths had invaded Spain 150 years earlier and established their own capital. Though Christian, they followed the heresy of Arianism, which denied the divinity of Christ. Isidore converted many of the Visigoths and made Spain a center of culture and learning. As Archbishop of Seville, he strengthened the seminary system and founded schools that taught every branch of learning. His own writings were voluminous, including a history of the world. Devoted to the poor throughout his life, Isidore increased his charities as he aged. He prepared for his death by giving away all his possessions. In his final months, his house was filled from morning till night with poor people seeking his help. He died in 636. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Nineteen after the hour on this Tuesday morning. Get up, get after it. With us right now, we were just hearing about Saint Isidore, and we're talking to a future saint, Bishop Michael Duca. He is the bishop of the Diocese of Baton Rouge, and glad he could be with us. And Bishop, you know, a lot of things are happening in and around the diocese right now, a lot of activities. Anything you want to kind of give us an update on before I get a deep dive into some of the questions?
Well, one thing, I'm trying to get my dates and everything right here. We have a Women's New Life Clinic, which is, of course, they're located in New Orleans, and also we have one here in town. I just heard an advertisement there of giving some information on that. We are having our first fundraiser here in Baton Rouge for Women's New Life Clinic on Wednesday, May 10th. And I think that it is something that we're just starting it. It's going to be a small one, not as big as the one in New Orleans, but to help support the work of the clinic here in Baton Rouge. We had one of these that grew to a very large size in Shreveport. And, of course, I come from Dallas that has a huge fundraiser every year, maybe one of the biggest ones in the United States every year. Wow. And so I wanted to make sure that we had that opportunity. So if you go to Women's New Life Clinic, I think it's, oh, gosh, is it .org? .com. I can't remember what it is.
I think it's .org.
Check. Yeah, or just Google Women's New Life, Women's New Life Baton Rouge, and it'll pop up.
Right.
Yeah.
And it'll be at Drusilla Seafood. But yes, come to that, and they'll be on the ground floor, you might say, of our first fundraiser. Of course, this week we're all dealing with Holy Week, and then after Holy Week, I'll begin. Of course, my life becomes mostly confirmation for about 3 weeks. Which is a joy for me, because it brings me to all the parishes. I get a chance to see what's going on throughout the diocese, and then I go into graduations, high school graduations. After that, so there's a lot of on-site pastoral ministry for me as I move on, and then in the spring I'll end up doing some visits to the prisons, and then of course we have two priestly ordinations this year. On the 27th of May, and so we will have a full I'll have a full ministry up until the 1st of June.
Yeah, speaking of confirmations, Bishop Desitel has just announced, I guess 3 or 4 weeks ago now, that they're going to lower the age to make confirmation. Now, I've been wanting to get your thoughts on that, because he feels like maybe we're waiting too long for them to really find out who Christ is and become a true apostle of Christ at a younger age. What are your thoughts on that, and have you entertained that at all?
Well, that's a concept. That's not only so local. That's a national, I think, discussion that's going on. And so right now we've not seriously looked into that. Do you know what? In fact, I didn't even know this. So I don't know what age you went to. I know when I was confirmed.
Eighth grade, I think, is what they're moving it to in Lafayette. Yeah.
What, eighth grade?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that would correspond, of course, with Catholic schools. The year they graduate from Catholic schools. And would put it in that area. I think I was confirmed around the fifth or sixth grade. Mm-hmm. The bishop came every other year, and Dallas was a huge diocese at the time, and the bishop would come every other year. And so around the fifth or sixth grade, you know, it really is, they all have their advantages and disadvantages, you might say. The sacrament, of course, works, and it is, in fact, the earlier traditions are that in the Orthodox, the Greek churches, they're confirmed at baptism. All three sacraments are given at the same time. Hmm. You're fully initiated into the church at baptism. And so there's also that kind of original order where sacrament of confirmation comes close to or around the time of First Communion. So you're fully initiated into the church. There's just a lot of advantages. Right now, in many ways, confirmation at the high school level has been a way of trying to keep the young people engaged in religious education at a time when it's kind of been difficult to do that. And so before we change, we would need to, I think, make an even deeper change in our way of catechizing our young people, mm-hmm. so that they don't see confirmation as their graduation from religious education.
And then they walk away. Yeah.
Right. And mm-hmm. I think part of that has to do with the fact that we've kind of adopted in the United States a kind of classroom or civil education kind of model where you are going to classes rather than meeting together to continue the ongoing development of your relationship with God in prayer, in learning, in service. Mm-hmm. And those are not as something that we do once for all, once until a certain point in our life, then we don't have to go to school anymore, like in, you know, our secular life, but that is an ongoing. I remember talking to a Methodist one time. He told me, he said, I've been in my Bible study since I was in high school, and we have been meeting together for the past 20 or 30 years on Sundays. You know, that's wow. That's not a bad model. The fact no. that we have those that kind of ongoing, the sense that we our life as a Catholic is should be continued to develop. And because if you're sitting in the pew and the last time you had any kind of serious religious education was when you were at 12th grade, if you're lucky, maybe 11th grade, maybe even 8th grade, mm-hmm. you know, that amount of faith, amount of understanding is not big enough to help you chart the challenges of the life of a 30-year-old,
right.
husband, father, someone who's engaged in the world. You need a deeper faith and a deeper understanding of that faith to be able to meet those challenges. And so we need, so that I think wherever we change it, it's not about changing the age of confirmation as much as changing the way in which we approach religious education. Now, that of course depends on the family, the parents. You know, our parents are the first teachers in the ways of faith. And so we would have to also catechize the parents in order to better catechize the children. So it's a big job for us, and I see it. And so we're trying small ways to change that model, but it's very, some of our parishes are beginning to have 2 and 3 week summer, kind of summer camps at the parish. Rather than meet with the kid 1 hour a week, they gather them together for 2 or 3 weeks. So they come kind of all day with sisters, with other people, mm-hmm. and you get so many more hours and time to help form these young people in the faith. They're finding that much more valuable and maybe effective. So we're trying new ideas here. We'll have to continue to look at that. But yeah, I believe you, that discussion has been going on a long time in the church.
Okay. Real quick, the diaconate program looks to be very solid. Yeah, 4 deacons, I believe, are going to be getting ordained in August, right?
That's right. We have an ongoing program, so we have 5 classes in development all the time. So we have them. We have smaller classes, but we have ordinations every year.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, we have 4 this year. Fine men. I mean, we are blessed with the men that are coming forward, and believe me, we need the presence of deacons in our church more and more as we have the reduction of the number of priests.
Yes, and speaking of priests, how are we doing with seminarians?
Seminarians? Well, we got good quality with great seminarians. We just don't have enough of them. So we have been trying hard. Father Josh Johnson in our diocese has been taking large numbers of young men to open houses at the seminary. We've had 3 or 4 called Andrew dinners. We invite young men who the pastors believe would be a good priest and come together and learn about simply the vocation of priesthood. And so we are trying our best to promote that. And but across the board, young people today are finding it difficult to embrace ministries and works of service.
Yeah. You're introduced. I think that is a solid program that Father Joshua Johnson is instilling, and I love to see that. And it's not just the young men, and it's the dads and the moms. They need to be on board just as much as anyone else, and that's the beauty of that program.
That's right. That's right. And you know, we need parents to be willing to encourage their children. They don't have to make them believe they're supposed to be a priest or a sister. But if they do have that idea,
mm-hmm.
parents should be willing to give them the freedom to explore that. Don't just shut them down right away. Mm-hmm. You say, oh, you don't want to do that. They should be able to let them imagine that. If it's God's will, God will lead them that direction, and it'll be the right thing for them. If not, then that idea will fall away, and it'll he'll embrace or she will embrace something else. But parents need to give them the encouragement to and the freedom to explore those vocations and promote them as something good. People always think about all the problems, but I tell people, yeah, some priests have had problems. But think about, you can ask everyone, has there been a priest in your life that really deeply affected you positively? And most people will say, oh, yes, I can remember Father so-and-so. I can remember that moment in my life when Father did this or that confession. And think, well, that's the kind of man we want your son to be. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the kind of woman we want your daughter to be. Those people of faith that really make a difference in people's lives. Don't think about all the problems. Think about all the blessings priests have been to you.
Amen.
And then when you want your son or daughter or sister maybe to be that kind of influence in the world.
You're right. Well, Bishop Duca, stick around, as well as you listeners out there, because we've got more with Bishop Michael Duca here on Wake Up.
Good morning. It's 35 minutes after the hour. You're tuning your heart to the truth on Catholic Community Radio. I'm Alicia Quibido with Gabby Smith and Damian Collado. We're continuing our discussion with Bishop Michael Duca, the Bishop of the Diocese of Baton Rouge. Good morning again, Bishop Duca.
Good morning.
I wanted to mention, you mentioned Women's New Life Clinic. We love them and the amazing work they do for women in crisis in our community. And I wanted to just give that website. There's the event is called Saved in Hope. It's an evening with Bishop Duca. You can find out information at womensnewlife.com/savedinhope. And Gabby will link that in the comment section of today's Facebook Live video. So what a great night to visit with you, Bishop Duca, and support the wonderful work of Women's New Life Clinic.
Yeah, thank you for getting that information right. I left the notes at home in my office, and I've been home today.
That's all right. And there's lots of information there. There's still a need of lots of sponsorship opportunities, and you'll find that at that womensnewlife.com/savedinhope. It sounds like a wonderful evening, and Catholic Community Radio will be supporting that wonderful event and the efforts of Women's New Life Clinic. So, well, Bishop Duca, here we are. It seemed like Lent was began Ash Wednesday with so long ago, and we had hope for 40 wonderful days of being in the desert, and all of a sudden we find ourselves in April, and it is Holy Week.
That's right.
It seems
like always time goes fast. Yes,
it does. It does. So, Bishop Duca, can you give a little hope to folks that are all of a sudden realizing, oh my goodness, it is Holy Week, and I didn't really give up what I wanted to give up, or I fell a few times, or struggled along the road?
Well, you know, that's the way of life. You know, mm-hmm. that's as I preached in my first sermon on Ash Wednesday, I preached at noontime, and that morning I went to an event, and I think I may have mentioned that I ate a little candy on the way in. I picked one up off a counter without even thinking, and I was giving up sweets for Lent. And so we're always going to fall. That should not be our goal is always to be faithful. So it's not too late. I mean, today is the day. The scriptures tell us over and over during Lent, today is the day of salvation. So today, pick up the cross, pick up those practices. And for this week, especially during this week, walk with the Lord until Saturday with those practices. Or maybe also in addition, every day, take up some time, 15 minutes or so, and read through the scriptures, read through the passion dialogues in the Bible yourself. Go through each of the evangelists and read their different renderings of Jesus' passion and death on the cross. And meditate upon them. Think about them. Let them sink in. No, it's not. It's never too late. The Lord, mm-hmm. I guess, at the beginning of this was beginning of Lent. He doesn't want us perfect. He wants us faithful. So today is. See, the thing is, that's kind of the temptation of sin is to think about all the bad things we've done, how mm-hmm. unworthy we are, and there's no reason to start anymore. I mean, I blew it. Mm-hmm. No. The only thing you're blowing is the starting again part, which is the most important. So let go of that, trust in God's mercy and love, and start again. And that we can have a great Lent if we end well sometimes. And remember, God has always the power to surprise us. Oh. We just give him some time. And so pick up those practices and be faithful these last few days. And I think you might even find a surprising amount of blessing from that.
Oh, amen. Bishop Duca, I know that, you know, we have the Triduum coming up, Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and Easter. Can you talk about, you know, it seems like we only have one Mass or on Good Friday service, and not everyone participates in the Triduum. What, do you have some words of encouragement for folks to go? For me personally, it really helps me enter into that joy of Easter on Sunday, that resurrection joy, by really living Holy Thursday and Good Friday. Can you share some words of encouragement for folks to, who maybe don't go, that isn't part of their Easter tradition?
Well, you know, it's one of those kind of hidden wonders and beauties of the church. And it's kind of central to the church, these days of Triduum as we move towards the resurrection of the Lord. And most people, they go, they'll go because maybe someone's coming into the church on Holy Saturday, or someone will invite them to go. You might invite someone to go with you if you're going, if you're a regular participant in these mysteries and these ceremonies. But when people go, they're amazed. They're surprised how beautiful they are,
mm-hmm.
and how much
yes.
they really do enlighten our appreciation and awareness of what we're celebrating. And so definitely, I can't encourage you enough, but you're right. They come at a time when we're oftentimes in the middle of our busy lives.
Yes.
Even though it's Holy Thursday and Good Friday for us as Catholics, it's an ordinary day for other people. I remember when I was in Rome, I remember walking outside on Thanksgiving Day, and except for inside the Casa Santa Maria where I live with all the Americans, I walked outside and this isn't Thanksgiving at all out here. and it was weird. They didn't, you know, have any sense that this was an important holiday for me. So even though we're in the world living, It's not easy to break the routine and
right.
make space for these Triduums, especially Good Friday. Oftentimes happens during the day, So we have to intentionally decide to make that step. And I just say step out in faith and go to one of the services, if you all three if you can.
Yes.
Holy Saturday has the reputation of being really long. It is a long ceremony, but it's one that if you just don't worry about time. Imagine how we're worried about time. How much, you know, we'll spend 3 hours binging on a TV show. You know, why not give 3 hours or 2 hours to go to Mass on Holy Saturday night and just be present?
Mm-hmm.
Don't take your watch off. Just be present to the ceremony, present to the symbols and signs, the prayers, the readings, to see the joy of people being received into the church, baptisms and confirmations. Renew your baptismal promises. See the water blessed and sprinkled on us for the first time, as the new water and the new light, the new fire is blessed. All these things kind of renew us in spirit,
mm-hmm.
but we have to just kind of give up and give ourselves over to the Lord.
Yes.
And when we give Him space, it's amazing what God can do in our lives.
That's right. That's wonderful. Thank you so much. Bishop Duca, before we let you go, we are so grateful that you've been with us for the majority of the show this morning. Could you offer a blessing for us and for our listeners?
Yes. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. Loving God, send your Holy Spirit into our hearts to fill us with a spirit of prayer and a willingness to walk with you this week in your passion, death, and ultimately to celebrate your resurrection. Help us to look without turning away into the blessings, the horror, but also the grace of the cross. God, help us during this time of last days of Lent in this Holy Triduum draw closer to you as your disciple. We might die with you to sin. We might rise with you to new life and grace. We pray all this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
May God blessings send us forth, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. Bishop Michael Duca, Bishop of the Diocese of Baton Rouge. Bishop Duca, can you tell our listeners your website so they can find out more information and about Mass for Easter?
Oh, gosh. What was that? I guess it would be.
Sorry.
Our webpage is diobr.org.
That's right, diobr.org. Thank you, Bishop Michael Duca. It's wonderful to visit with you this morning. We appreciate your time and wishing you a blessed Holy Week and a happy Easter.
And same to you and all the listeners, too.
Thank you so much. God bless you. Wow. Well, we didn't get into it. I was going to talk to Bishop Duca about Easter Sunday, but I thought we were running out of time.
I was kind of curious what he does with the family.
Well, we
haven't
had a minute, so I didn't think we had enough time. But, one thing, and I was listening to Sunrise Morning Show on the way in this morning about when you get to Mass on Easter Sunday, and your usual pew that you sit in every day, every Sunday, maybe during daily Mass or special occasions, and you get there and someone is sitting in your spot who only comes on Easter. What do you do? So it's a great opportunity for us with the church filled with people who we might not see every day to extend a smile, welcome people. It's a great opportunity just to spread that joy of Easter. So looking forward to that, seeing new folks at Mass on Sunday. So stick around. Bill Donahue will join us. He is talking about his new book, War on Virtue. It is 15 minutes before the hour on Wake Up.
It is 48 past the hour. You're tuning your heart to the truth. I'm Gabby Smith, and our next guest is Bill Donahue. Today, he joins us to talk about his book called War on Virtue, How the Ruling Class is Killing the American Dream. Good morning, Bill. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Well, thank you, Gabby. Thank you for having me during Holy Week.
Definitely. It's a big week for Catholics and many people across the globe, and the holiest of weeks. This is a particular book that when I saw the title, I took a pause. But as I got into it a little bit more, I realized this is stuff that we are seeing every day, something we have to address and talk about. So take us through your book.
Right. Well, thank you so much for the opportunity. Yes, this book is basically looking at what it is that makes for success. I studied a lot of different individuals as well as demographic groups to see what kinds of attributes make for success. And I am convinced that there's three what I call the vital virtues: self-control or self-discipline, perseverance, and personal responsibility. Now, if you have these three attributes, these three vital virtues, it doesn't guarantee success. But I can guarantee you one thing: if you don't have them, you won't succeed. I don't care whether you're a dentist, a salesman, or you're playing golf. You have to have these virtues in order to succeed. Now, in terms of demographic groups, I look at the four most successful groups as defined by education and income. They would be Asians, Jews, Mormons, and Nigerians. Now, what's interesting about the Asians and Nigerians is that they are, quote, people of color. But that certainly didn't affect them. They do a lot better than the Irish and the Italians. So these virtues have to be inculcated by the family. And there is a gold standard. Not all family arrangements are equal. There is a gold standard. It's called the intact biological father and biological mother raising their own children. There are other family forms, and people struggle, and some of them do a good job in single-parent families. But at the end of the day, the blue-chip family is that. Now, the ruling class, the elites who run our institutions, should be supporting that, nurturing it, encouraging it. Instead, they're working against it. And nobody has suffered more at the hands of the ruling class, who are mostly white, well-educated people, who regard themselves as the most non-racist people on earth. Nobody suffers more than African Americans. And I'm accusing the white, liberal ruling class of giving up on blacks. And that's why they're quick to write them checks and reparations and quotas and equity programs and the like, instead of saying, you can succeed like everybody else. They've given up on them. And that is the ultimate form of racism.
Yeah, I mean, and one of the things I keep hearing about is, when I growing up, you hear the American dream, people coming to this country to find opportunity to have a better life for their family and their children and their children's children. And it's hard to do that these days, especially with my generation, the millennial generation. We're buying homes, we're starting families, we're graduating college, we're starting careers. It is quite difficult these days to truly live that authentic American dream. So kind of take us through that. And how can we also incorporate our faith in Catholicism with what we're seeing in today's world?
Well, if we just begin with our own faith, if you take a look at the cardinal virtues, they're there, and if you exercise them, you're going to do well. The Catholic teachings are not the problem. Have there been Catholics who have failed in the teachings? Yes. Every priest who went wayward back in the 60s and 70s and the early 80s, every one of them violated the teachings of the Catholic Church. Had they followed the teachings and their oath instead of their id, their pleasure principle, as Freud would have it, they would not have committed the kinds of sins that they did. So we don't need to amend the Catholic Church's teachings. We need to make them more publicly distributed, not imposed on people, but let people know we do have the answer to the good society. In the meantime, we have to resist the attempts by educators and others who are literally teaching students that it is good to destroy the nuclear family. The nuclear family, as I said before, is the answer to the vital virtues which make for success. I make that clear in The War on Virtue. But you not only have Black Lives Matter saying we should destroy the family, this is being taught in many of the schools. And the corporate world is now on board with this woke politics, telling all white people, I said all white people, that they're racist and that they must admit to their racism. That itself is a racist statement, to just collectively throw a group of people into a bin and brand them with this negative way. We have to stand up to the ruling class. Our elites don't represent us anymore. The common sense is in the average man and woman, whether you're Catholic or non-Catholic. And we have to, in terms of Catholics, repair to our faith for the answer.
This is a very difficult topic to discuss, and we're hearing it constantly in the news. And when we turn on the radio to secular news, a secular talk show, we hear this constantly. You know, Bill, this is not going to go away. We hear things about different activists, different things being pushed that we may not agree with, especially as Catholics. What can we do to focus and reorient our family into the faith living in a secular society today that is seemed to be getting louder and louder?
Well, for one thing, if you're a parent and you have a teenager, be careful how much time they spend on social media. Social media has had a deleterious effect, particularly on young girls. So you need to monitor that, okay? You need to police it, quite frankly, because what they're getting on social media is disastrous advice on so many different. It's not just TikTok. This is widespread. When you see something that's wrong, and I'm not expecting people to lose their job over it, but people need to speak up, and they need to go in unison. If you're talking to other parents about something going on in the school, and they feel the same way you do, ask for a joint meeting, a sit-down, and see if you can't reason with people, because there are too many people who never live with the consequences of their ideas. Just to give you one quick example, look at all the people who were telling us you have to wear the mask and social distancing. And then we seen them all going to the parties, Governor Whitmer and Nancy Pelosi, and none of them wore the mask. It was a joke. They laughed at us. The same thing is going on. They say, defund the police. And then you find out the very congressmen and women who want to defund the police, they're paying $400,000 and $800,000 in security, private security that we are paying for. So they do want the police for them, but not for anybody else. We have to be skeptical of the leadership in this country. I'm not saying cynical, but we need to be skeptical because too many people in elite positions are selling us a bill of goods.
Bill Donahue, today we're talking about his book, War on Virtue, How the Ruling Class is Killing the American Dream. Bill, we're out of time. Where can we go and pick up your copy and read more about this?
Well, it's actually on pre-order. You can get it to Sophia Institute Press, that's the publisher, or go to Amazon, and they're taking pre-orders. The book is actually coming out and will be published 2 weeks from today on April the 18th. And I think it's an eye-opener, and I don't mince words. That's just the way I am. I'm an Irish guy from New York City.
Bill, I can tell you're passionate about this topic. Thank you so much for being with us and having the courage to talk about this. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Gabby. God bless you.
You too. Have a great day and happy Holy Week to you. My goodness, what a great show full of chalk information. Mm-hmm. If you want to find out anything that we've talked about today, you can go to the comments section for today's Facebook Live video. That's Wake Up Tuesday, and it's the first video you will see on our Facebook page. Also, our YouTube channel, just type in Catholic Community Media on YouTube, and you will see the video on there later on this morning. So great show, and looking forward to a good rest of the day.
All right. Let us pray. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Lord Jesus, by the suffering and death you endured on the cross, you brought peace to a sinful world and gave humankind the gift of reconciliation. Teach me self-denial that I might follow your example and trust in your wisdom. Increase my faith, hope, trust, charity, and courage so that I may turn hatred to love and conflict to peace. Give me a perfect heart to receive your blessings so I may love others just as you love me. We ask this through Mary, our mother. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll catch you back here tomorrow at 7 a.m. Central Time with Dina Dow with the Diocese of Baton Rouge, Johnny Hebert, and so much more. Have a wonderful Tuesday. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Media.